Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're crazy.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday to you all. I'm just here. We're back in the studio. We're coming Yay. And going. Chrissy, nice to see you.
Nice to see you. In the flesh.
In the flesh. Sound quality on point this episode. And hey, we just want to say thanks for sticking with us during quarantine. I know some people have called in and sometimes, you know, the audio isn't always the same yeah. when it's not in the studio. But hey, listen, trying times.
Trying times.
We're just trying to get through it. We do always appreciate you listening. What a great episode we have coming for you today.
Yeah.
Candace Kane, legendary. Actor,
she actress, really is an
performer,
icon. Yeah.
Talking to us about the trans community. We're fresh off the heels of Pride Month,
yeah,
and we want Pride Summer. And I gotta say, the trans community is something I know very little about, and still pretty ignorant on some of the topics that are discussed on this. And I was just interested in learning more about Candace and what it's like to be in her shoes.
Yeah.
And as we try to do on the show, we're just trying to put ourselves in other people's shoes from time yeah. to time. So she's obviously a delight, a lot of fun, and
a trailblazer in the community.
Trailblazer. Chrissy has been friends with Candace forever.
10 years. Yeah, it's crazy.
So yeah, I mean, shit, she's done it all, man. She's in this new documentary on Netflix called Disclosure, which I watched. I hope you guys yep. did too.
She's in The Magician.
She performed with Billy Baldwin. Need you say more?
I mean,
legendary.
Billy Baldwin was her love interest.
Also, you know, Caitlyn Jenner. She was
on I Am Kate. She helped Caitlyn Jenner with the transition. It was very interesting.
Anyways, if you want to listen to something light and fun about the trans community and learn a little bit,
I think you learned a lot.
Look no further. I mean, you're here already. You downloaded it. If you turn it off now, you're a dick.
Yeah, you're just not nice.
Yeah. Wow. Boy, that says a lot about you. Should I just chastise some of my Anyways, before I say anything else to offend my audience... before we get to the interview with Candace, a friendly reminder to give us 5 stars on iTunes. Obviously, sending your questions to asknick@castme.com, cast with a K for our Mondays episodes. We certainly appreciate you sharing your stories and letting us give us your opinion. And our listeners at home, thank you as well. Well, we always appreciate you guys listening. Oh, by the way, thank you, 17 Magazine, for naming us
yes.
one of the top dating podcasts out there. We're influencing the youth of America.
I Good love that. That was so cool.
Yeah, no, it's great, especially when you have no idea. You just show up in an article.
Yeah, that's so great.
Well, 17 Magazine thinks we're dope, so.
Like, super dope.
And that's because of you guys. Yeah. You probably, whoever, and if you're listening, dear writer who wrote about us, thanks. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, 17.
Well, let's get to Candace. Candace, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
I'm really looking forward to this. It's a conversation that I've been, like I said, looking forward to. And we've had a lot of guests on this podcast, especially recently, to share their stories and shed light on topics that aren't as common or people aren't aware of. And I got to say, when it comes to transgender and the transgender community, it's probably a topic I'm the most ignorant about as far as things that I'm not familiar with. Mm-hmm. And I think as a society, we're getting more and more comfortable with the transgender community and more knowledgeable. And then I watched Disclosure on Netflix, which you're a part of, and it was a fantastic show, and we've been telling our audience. And then I just once again realized just how much more I still don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're here to chat with us and hang out, have some fun, and maybe we'll learn a little bit in the process.
Totally.
So yeah, I mean, it's funny because the biggest takeaway I learned from what I got from Disclosure is, it's kind of this, I don't know if this is a double-edged sword where you want to ask a lot of questions, and we have this talk about on this show about the ability to be an ally, right?
Right.
But if you want to be an ally, do the work on your own, and certainly ask questions of people who are interested in helping you learn. But be careful sometimes how you ask things, because that in itself could be offensive or rude. And when watching Disclosure, a lot of it was talking about some of the questions when you've done interviews and that the Katie Couric episode.
I love the Katie Couric episode because it kind of freed that when I first started working in Hollywood, the questions were so inappropriate and I had no way of defending myself against them. I just quickly tried to answer and then I would move on. But it was never about my work and what I was doing and what I've done for the community. It was always, you know, talking about surgeries and this and that, which was so frustrating. So when Laverne, you know, kind of schooled Katie, it kind of relieved the pressure for everyone in the media to have to not be able to ask those weird questions.
Yeah.
Or even though you're curious, sometimes it's good to be curious.
Yeah.
You don't need to know every answer you think in your head.
The only way I can even try to relate, and I can't, but if I were to try, is like how annoyed I get with like the low-hanging fruit questions of me having been on The Bachelor.
Right.
And they're like harmless questions. They're just like, I'm just tired of doing it. And I can only imagine having being asked about surgeries or parts of your body, or what's it like, or like, you know, just like, oh my, you know, and then I get questions and they're not like offensive. They're just like, are you really asking me that?
Right.
And yet, again, that's not even a comparison. And I get frustrated. So I can truly only imagine what it might be like for a transgender person to try to like make other people feel comfortable.
So the way I always thought about it was, is that I'm just going to be an open and happy and just intelligent, hopefully, person to just discuss who I am and really kind of get people off the defensive. Mm-hmm. When they meet me, they tend to enjoy talking to me. I'm well-versed. I can carry on a conversation. I'm not a threatening person. And I think that helps ease the tensions or insecurities that somebody has about being around me, even though I don't understand why that would be an issue, but some people apparently have that issue. It's gotten a lot better, you know. So it's fine now. I live my daily life. For the most part, nobody even realizes that I'm trans. I just kind of just go about my business, you know what I mean? Or they recognize me or something like that. But I also don't mind answering questions when it comes to how you feel inside, how you came to your decisions. You know, these are like personal questions that really help people understand why someone is the way they are. I could just keep going.
No, I feel like that's safer for me. Yeah.
I mean, there's one thing about trans folk, which I never thought I'd say folk before, but trans people, is that they, from a very early on, have to delve deep into their own psyche and soul to discover who they are as a human being. So a lot of trans people are very well-developed, thought-out people because they've had so many years of trying to figure out who they are.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like constantly in their head and kind of,
which is a good thing and a bad thing. But like for me, I knew I was trans when I was 7 years old. So,
so when you say you knew you were trans when you were seven, like you're like, you said to yourself, I'm trans, or you just felt,
I felt different. Yeah. Like I have a twin brother and he's
identical?
Like, no, fraternal.
Okay.
I know. Everybody cool. always asks
I'm
that.
Sure, I'm such an annoying yeah. question.
Like, I want
you have 10 siblings like from the same mom? You know,
I know. Yeah. So, no, when I was younger, I had twin cousins that were a boy and a girl. And I used to, my first thought was like, I should have been born like my cousin Tanya at 7. But there was, you know, you're 7, you know. And my best friend was Jenny Gamble, who was like my girlfriend, and we would dress up together and play with dolls. And my parents were really rad, and they never once said, stop playing with that doll or stop wearing that dress. And that was, you know,
that's the most important part, is having parents that understand and like can help you.
100%. People don't realize that being trans is difficult enough, especially if you don't have a support system around you.
I can only imagine. My sister, I've mentioned this, came out recently as gay.
Yeah. Congratulations.
As a thank. Well, I say thank like I did something. She was 17 and, you know, as you can imagine, grew up really conservative. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents' views on being gay were definitely different now than they were, say, 15 years ago. Not that they were ever, you know, bigots or anything like that. They just were ignorant. You know, yeah. We were all ignorant. We just had different views. And so, I'm really thankful for my parents, especially for my sister Olivia, because I know there was a lot of fear. As open-minded as my parents have become, and as progressive they've become, it's like, what are people going to think? And the being gay seems to be, again, still ways to go, but a lot more accepted than it was before. And especially is, you know, it's like, oh, you like women. Okay, fine. But I can't imagine what that might be like. I mean, what have your parents shared in terms of like having a trans daughter? In disclosure, there was that one father who kind of talked about their, I don't know if their child,
a unicorn.
It was a very empowering thing to hear, but, were your parents always that, progressive and behind your back, or was it kind of a slow, like, help me understand what you're feeling type of thing?
Well, I came out twice because I thought,
what does that mean?
Well, because I'm not only, well, I'm trans, I'm also straight. So I'll help you understand that.
Yeah.
So I am attracted to men.
Okay.
And so I was born physically as a boy. And so I came out as gay because I wasn't able to figure out my transition yet.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I came out to them as gay, and they were like, okay, well, you have to be careful because right now, I mean, it was in the middle of like the AIDS epidemic. Mm-hmm. And so they were worried more than anything for me. But then I moved to New York City and I realized that I was trans and I wanted to grow old as a woman. And I wrote them both a letter and I sent it to them. And they called me and said, we're coming to New York. We want to make sure you're okay. So they flew to New York about a month later because they were teachers and it was in the middle of school year. My dad said to me, this makes more sense to me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of sensed it.
Yeah. And so they are progressive people, like to the core. But every child that transitions, their parents go through a moment of mourning for their lost child, their left child. I was a twin, mm-hmm. so it was always me and Dylan, you know? And so it was a transition for them as much as it was for me. And I think that that's really important. Everyone needs to know that you need to be accepting of your child at face value and do the work on the inside and mm-hmm. not project that on your child because they're going through it as much as anyone else is going through it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of similar to being gay too. It's a way that society has put these kind of norms on how people should be.
Yeah.
And we kind of live in a sheep mentality where everybody tries to be similar to the other person so they don't stand out too much. And so you're going against the norm. I mean, me personally, I was raised by an amazing family, and I've always been out there. I didn't care what people said. I didn't care if I was going to get beat up. I was going to be myself, you know. But that comes a lot from my core values and my parental raising, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's important.
Ritual.
Oh my God.
I'm always get jealous of these amazing brands that don't care about me. But I know they using Ritual.
Well, they're going to be making a men's one, so you're going to be fine.
That's great. But right now I can't. And I'm really jealous because you talk about how you've been taking your Ritual vitamins and you're almost surprised how beneficial you
are. Yeah, I feel like I'm sleeping better. I feel like, you know what that's really cool is they have this mint thing in it. So, you know, like when you take like fish oil or something like that, like you always have like that aftertaste a little bit from the fish oil. So because they include this mint thing in it, you don't get that aftertaste, which is kind of amazing.
Wow. Win.
It is a win.
Ritual is obsessively researching their vitamins for women. As we know that our bodies sometimes are different, and they're really honing in on all the things that apparently you women need to have the
that we're
best,
not getting enough from our food
systems or whatever. I don't know. But here's the thing: sometimes, no matter how focused you are on your diet and trying to get all the nutrients, you might not get everything you need. And vitamins are a great way to maximize all the minerals and vitamins your body nourishes, needs, and craves.
Yeah, all those essential nutrients.
From D3 to omega-3, Ritual Essentials for Women helps fill the gaps in a woman's diet. Their no nausea capsules design is gentle on an empty stomach, and there's a mint tablet for every bottle to keep things fresh, as you say.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a no-brainer. So if you're interested in having vitamins specific for women in your body to help you have the best overall well-being, try Ritual. Better health doesn't happen overnight. And right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Fill in the gaps in your diet with Essentials for Women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Visit ritual.com/VIALL to start your Ritual today. That's 10% off your first 3 months at ritual.com/VIALL. We all know shavings make a pile, people, or small steps make big progress. And here's the thing. We all are trying to be the best versions of ourselves, and Noom is helping us get there. So whatever our goals are when it comes to our diets and our bodies, we often need assistance and having healthy habits. And when we do a little bit each day, it can go a long way. Yep. I didn't even try to rhyme, and I did.
You
that
did
was
it.
Amazing.
It sounds good.
Getting in shape doesn't have to be about losing a specific amount of weight. Maybe you want to gain weight. Who knows? A lot of people, you know, It all depends on what makes you feel better as a person. It's all about building healthier habits and feeling better about yourself. If fitting into that favorite pair of jeans is your goal, great. But there are many reasons you might want to practice self-care, and every person is different. And Noom is helping you do that. It's just a great app on your phone. You get a bunch of dietary tips, information, a way to set goals. And again, shavings make a pile, doing a little bit. It's all about habits and solutions to get you to where you want to be. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress, or shavings make a pile. Sign up for your trial today at noom.com/VIALL. Noom, it's fun to say. What do you have to lose? Visit noom.com/VIALL today. That's Noom, noom.com/VIALL. And how your relationship with your brother, was he always protective of you, or was there ever a struggle between, like, hey, I have a twin. Did he have an identity? Maybe not identity, but like a, yeah. How did he handle it, I guess, is the question.
Yeah. I think, you know, when we were teenagers, we hated each other just because normal siblings, you know, it wasn't anything like anything other than like, you're weird. Well, you're dumb, you know, that kind of thing. But he was, I could tell that he was protective of me. I remember one time I went to, at, you know how high schools will have a fair like in Greece, you know what I mean? And do you know Greece?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
I mean, I'm straight, but like,
Olivia Newton-John. Hello.
I do like to dance.
And I went to the St. Anthony Bazaar, and I went and I was walking, and this group of guys surrounded me, and one of them punched me in the face, and I somehow got through them. I don't know how. And I ran into where my brother was, and I was like, these guys went and punched me in my face. And then the next thing I knew, the entire football team that Dylan was on was chasing them across the field and off the campus. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing. Like, he hated me, but he loved me. He didn't hate me, but you know what I mean.
I mean, like, I joke with some of my siblings, like, I love them all. I don't like them all. Like, I don't like hanging out with them all the time, but.
But I was the only one in Maui with like crazy color hair that no one was doing at the time, you know? And I was like the oddball on the, everyone on Maui knew me.
You grew up in Maui?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I feel like I have so many questions about that. Well, because in Maui, I feel like just being Caucasian in Maui is you're more of a minority,
right?
In that regard,
yeah.
So
and kind of integrating into the local culture, you know, not just being a tourist, and you're having to like.
Are your parents still in Maui?
No, they left like 6 years ago to move to Seattle to be near my brother and the kids, and you know that kind of thing.
Very cool. What are some of the? I mean,
they kept their house
in Maui.
Yeah.
Oh wow. So you got,
I have a house. I have my house still there. Well, it's not my house, but you know what I mean.
But you get you go.
Oh,
there.
Anytime I want, I'm like. Okay, I got the house.
Plan a trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm best friends with Candace now. I mean, because you're cool, but also because of the house. People have gotten better and more understanding and more open-minded, but you know, for the people who listen to this podcast and have questions, what are some of the concepts or things or the questions you get that, you know, are still short-sighted or ignorant that... you hear often and often that you would love to maybe just correct people on or just say, hey, you know, maybe you don't even mean to be offensive, but this, I don't,
well, I think
could you not do that?
The core of this is that people still believe that this is a choice. And I think that's where it all boils down to. This is something that I am. It is part of my being.
Yeah.
And so, it wasn't a choice. Would I want to choose being tormented for the first half of my life and have to go through surgeries and discrimination? Like it's kind of ridiculous. I think that is the basic thing. There's other stupid questions like about bathrooms and, you know, like all of that whole thing that the right is really trying to push, the bathroom bill and stuff like that. I mean, can you imagine me walking into a men's bathroom?
Yeah, I would be so...
I mean, it would be ridiculous.
Well, yeah, because especially imagining parts of the country where people don't know you.
Right.
I mean...
And those are the parts of the country where I could... Well, I couldn't get in trouble, but, you know, technically I could get in trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or not so, technically, but I mean, the trans community, a lot of the trans community could get into trouble. And so, and really it's not about me or the passing girl or the girl that gets by or, you know, the pretty privilege or
when
the
you
one
say
living in Hollywood.
Passing girl, do you mean like the fact that if I met you on the street, I would have no idea that you were trans?
Right.
Okay. Versus someone who's maybe at the beginning or middle of their transition.
Or in a place where they're happy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter what this person thinks about how this person looks or appears or is, because you're living your existence and I'm living mine. So why are you judging my existence? So a lot of what I talk about and fight for is the fact that, yes, I live in Hollywood. I live, you know, I'm an actress. I'm in a bubble. I have a house. I'm pretty. You know, like I have all these privileges that a lot of other trans people don't. And they walk out of their house every day into a barrage of comments, a barrage of fear. I mean, can you imagine living in one of these places that have bathroom bills and not being able to blend and go stealth into society? You can't go to the bathroom.
And for those people who don't know what the bathroom bill is, what is it?
a bit, there's been a series of kind of bills that they've gone, that they've had throughout the country that say that trans people are not allowed to use the bathroom that they identify with. And so a lot of these trans folks are having to hold pee. I mean, can you imagine? I know it sounds vapid, but imagine having to hold your pee for the entire day you're going around and having to wait till you get home to use the bathroom. Like it's things like that, that really make people understand that it's not about slinking into the ladies' room. It's about just using the bathroom. It doesn't make sense to me.
But also just kind of funny because, you know, go to a sports venue game and it's pretty common that the women's bathroom line will be longer. And then there's always, especially when alcohol is involved, the group of cute girls who come into the men's room and guys don't give a shit. You know, yeah. They're like, woohoo, a lot of cheering and whatever. And
right.
Like, you think they all think it's great. So, yeah, the fact that,
unless
like,
you're a trans person and sure. That's the last place you want to go.
The contradiction.
I auditioned for Curb Your Enthusiasm once for an episode that they never did because it was because me and apparently a bunch of other actors were like, we would never do this, like about the bathroom thing where, you know, the line is too long in the woman's bathroom. And so this trans woman walks over into the men's room and he's in Larry David's in front of or behind her. It's like, what are you doing in this whole, you know, trans thing? And so I walked into the audition and it was Larry David and the whole cast. And I'm like, this is a basic audition. Why would all these people be at this audition? Who knows? But I walked in, I was like, I love your show. And I think this is amazing. And I think you guys are so funny. And I really wish I could be on it. But this is not something that trans people would ever do. And so I'm sorry, I can't audition for this. And they were like, oh, okay, thank you for coming in.
And just why not, I guess? Did they ask why? Was it like a...
Well,
did they learn or was it a kind of a coaching?
So, and then Alexandria Billings, who's another actress from Transparent and stuff, she walked in and said the same thing. And then when I was out there, she walked out and she's like, I just said this. And I was like, I just said that too. And so we were kind of feeling like, okay, that was the early days when we had to change Hollywood from the inside. And now that there's, you know, like everything that I've ever done up until a certain point, I had to talk to the writers and the director and the producers and say, this is how you should write this character, even though it's already had been written, you know. And most of the time they listen to me. Most of the time.
That's good. I mean, even on Disclosure, just like, you know, and you've seen parodies about this, like in the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where like the show within the show about like the CSI kind of shows where they have these like really corny lines, but they even Disclosure where it was like the trans person and it's always they were like, oh, well, he's got a dick or, you know, they always like they're always that canny like, kind of
look
like
at those hands.
Guess
those
we're dealing
are some big feet.
Yeah. I mean, it was always like this, like, oh, look what we're really dealing
that
with here.
The that was you. That
yeah,
was you
that was me.
And then you said something like you were like dying.
I was dying. I was rolling my eyes.
You're just like lying there, letting them just tell their.
I'm not heavy.
Big hands.
I know. Oh my God. But what they didn't say in Disclosure, which was important, was the rest of the story. There was a point where the director, who was amazing, I changed them from putting it in the men's room to putting it in the women's room. Changed things. So the killer follows me into the women's room. Another thing is that when they were casting for my before picture, because I didn't have any, you know, before pictures, they lined up all of the extras that were on the set and they said, we're doing this before. And none of the actors wanted to give their before picture for my transition. And one of the actors said, they said to the director was like, you look like you could have been, you know, and he was like, no, I'm not lending my picture for this scene, this transition.
Wait, and so like
the director,
if I were like up for that, this part,
right
to play your before. It and was, I was being was like, I don't want to be identified. It was just a headshot.
It was just a headshot. It was their headshot.
Candace, you can use my headshot.
Okay, thank you.
Whenever to be your before.
So they didn't want to be identified as a before. And so the director said, well, then you can leave my set.
Good for him.
Which was like that first moment, because you're dreading it. You know, there weren't anybody, there was no one else on sets anywhere that were trans. I was, you know, barely. Mm-hmm. And so nobody knew how to deal with that. And so for me to get that kind of like protection on a set was important.
That's great. It's always nice to hear. Can I ask, because I didn't know this, and I was kind of talking to my friend who watched it with me. Well, I apologize if this is a stupid question, but disclosure, why is it called Disclosure?
Because disclosing means... Yeah.
That's what I wasn't sure, though.
Yeah. When you disclose who you are, who your true self is.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I wasn't, you know... I mean,
that's what I... think. I mean,
and, but in a positive way,
right?
Okay.
Or in a negative way. I mean, for my career, I mean, for a lot of trans people that are trying to live stealth, it's always people that disclose who you are.
Well, that was kind of the what that that's what I was kind of having a debate with myself. Is it disclosure because as a trans person you don't want to feel like you have to constantly disclose it,
right?
Or you want to, or maybe both, where if you are a trans person you want to be able to say it proudly and loudly, like, this is who I am, and be accepted for it.
I think it's kind of all of the above.
Okay.
I mean, there's just so many, there's positive ways of disclosure. There's negative ways of disclosure. I have girlfriends that were models in New York City that were trans and nobody knew. And it was took one queen that saw them in the clubs one night to ruin their career.
But because they were outed, then people, like, because they didn't know they were working as a female model.
I mean, I had people say, you can never be a commercial actor, because if the client found out that you were trans, there could be lawsuits. I actually had an agent say that to me.
Because, like, you're misleading the audience?
Because I'm misleading. So how do you even fight through Hollywood when that's what you get? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
I mean, I had a huge agency once tell me, I'm sorry, we can't bring you on in the height of Dirty Sexy Money, like huge show, because our other clients wouldn't understand us taking you on.
But they're just taking. How long ago was that?
Female actress. I'm so
that was,
confused.
Well, yeah. Who's out as a trans person.
Sure.
That was 07, 08.
So not that long ago.
No, not that long ago.
It is kind of amazing when you think back in terms of just certain ideas or, I mean, when I was in high school, there were no gay people in our class. We didn't know. No one came out.
Yeah,
right?
There was no out people.
There was no out people. And then now, you know, my sisters are in the high school.
I mean, you can't tell me there was a sissy or two.
Oh, no. I mean, we graduated a few years back, you find out so-and-so came out.
That was me. Like, but everyone knew.
It wasn't a thing.
That I was
different.
We didn't
think about it. We didn't talk about it.
Right.
You know, certain people, years later, would come out and be like, oh, okay, that makes sense, you know? But now you go back to high schools and it's way more accepted. People aren't as afraid to come out.
And, you know, a lot of that has to do with media and how the media portrays gay, lesbian, the LGBTQ+ community.
Curious, how I'm a big Dave Chappelle fan. Mm-hmm. Obviously he has come up when it comes, Dave Chappelle.
I'm teasing.
No, sorry.
I'm joking.
He's obviously... you know, talked about the trans community. The trans community has been the butt of his jokes.
Yeah.
When I first watched it, I laughed, and then I, you know, hear from the trans community, and it's just like, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, what are your thoughts on, you know, especially comedians who are like saying, well, as a comedian, I should be able to tell jokes, and, you know, what are your, I guess,
well,
thoughts on that?
Until you say sexist or racist remarks.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you didn't find...
Well, I didn't watch it because I heard about it, and I don't need to have that kind of energy in my life. But what I do know is that there are jokes to a point.
Sure.
Like, oh, you're this way. And like, oh, you know, whatever. But then there are jokes that go beyond that point. And that happens. And everyone has lines that aren't crossed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, totally.
And everyone should have lines that aren't crossed. I mean, believe me, I know that we're living in a weird cancel culture, and it's so frustrating to me. Like, somebody can have a beef with you and try to ruin your life and your career, and I think that's kind of ridiculous. But
well, I agree.
I think that you need there are lines that are crossed, especially for burdening communities.
Sure.
That are just burdening or buddening or... Anyways,
communities who are burdened,
burdening yeah. or budding communities that are burdened and that are still fighting for their civil rights so vigorously that they can't go to the bathroom in some cities. And so by doing kind of distasteful jokes, it just makes the community part of the butt of the joke.
Sure. As yeah, a, that makes and, sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's just, and I only bring it up just because I remember, again, watching it and thinking it was, you know, oh, well, he's telling a joke.
Right.
You know, not from, you know, not really knowing any trans people or having conversations right. with a trans person,
but
hearing their perspective.
But coming from a cis, straight, yeah. white male, there aren't very many jokes that offend you because you rule the world.
No,
let's just...
I joke about this all the time on the show. It's like, I don't know what to be offended about. Like... I mean,
right.
when if one of my other white straight friends comes to me and says they're offended, I just roll my eye. What are you offended about? You know?
Well, and then it goes to a whole other deeper level, because when you're the butt of the joke, you get picked on. And, you know, this year so far, 17 trans women of color have been murdered by cis men just for being trans. And so when you cultivate a community that laughs at other human beings for who they are, they aren't taken seriously, then stuff like this happens when they disclose mm-hmm. who they are.
No, that makes sense in terms of you don't want whoever you are, you don't want when you come up to always be the first thing that thing comes up is a joke.
Right.
Right. A way to make yourself feel maybe comfortable with even the concept or the idea, or, you know, it's like sometimes people, when we engage people who are different than us, we want them to be able to laugh at themselves to give us permissions to laugh at them, which is kind of a bizarre thing. But we right. do that because it's like, oh, we don't know what to say. So give me permission to laugh or something.
Right. But you can laugh, but you're not allowed to desire. Like, at what point does the cis hetero community say, God, she's hot? That isn't really said. Like, oh, she's trans, she's pretty, you know, but there isn't, they never talk about sexual desire or anything like that.
In terms of like a guy being like, oh, she's a total babe. And
yeah.
just leaving it.
And leaving it at that. Yeah.
And not feeling like that says something about you.
About them.
About you, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
About.
Exactly.
Be like, oh, well.
No, she's hot.
It's hot.
I think you're hot.
or you know, I'm assuming
it's not
like
a woman problem.
I know,
but if I mean, listen, guys are gawkers.
Yeah.
You know, not in a great, you know, but we check out women all the time, and so I'm like, when you say, oh, we're like, oh, what a babe, and then someone says, oh, but did you know she's trans,
right?
And not even feel the need to say that.
Exactly.
Or
that,
if it does come up, you don't
followed
change.
Followed yeah. up with that second statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to be many a moon before we get beyond that. But that's the goal, you know, not that my hotness should, that you're thinking that I'm hot has anything to do with who I am or how comfortable I am with the person. But it's just little things like that. Like, you see somebody walking into the women's room and you know that they're trans. Instead of looking and stopping, saying something, you know, just let them be. You know yeah. what I mean?
I agree. And listen, we do have a long way to go. And I'm still, like I said, I'm very ignorant on this topic. You know, I'm always trying to learn.
Now you're not.
Well, I'm still
more educated.
I'm still
like
learning.
80% of the country. So
I'm assuming a lot of people have questions. You get questions when it comes about dating and in your dating life. Is that something that you like talking about, hate talking about? I can only imagine the type of questions you might get asked that are annoying. What are your thoughts
on that? I'm single. I have been in long-term relationships. I've been in short-term relationships. I went from relationship to relationship. I've gone from relationship to relationship to relationship. And finally, like, I realized, just like anyone else, like, I have to stop, you know, shortchanging my needs and desires because I'm trying to fulfill a need in someone else. And I have to be honest, and I have kind of a big checklist for somebody that I'm dating. So now I have a couple of lovers. So those needs are met, but then I haven't met anybody that really like has the whole package.
That you want to hang out with.
That I want to hang out with, not that I'm fun and I want to have sex with and I want to hang out with and I want to play Scrabble with, or you know what I mean?
Like garden with.
And garden with and go to the movies or the flea markets, you know, stuff like that, you know? And it's like, I haven't found a well-rounded man that's going to be able to do that for me. So I think it's the same everywhere.
Yeah. I like how you call them lovers.
I love that
sounds
word.
So professional.
Yeah, I love that word. Lovers.
I've had people I have sex with sometimes. Yeah.
Lovers.
Those are lovers. Lovers.
Are they?
Yeah.
I try not to make love with those people.
Well, it's not making love. They're just yeah. So
I think lovers is a sexy way to say it.
You remember that SNL skit with Will Ferrell and what's his name? Hello, lover.
Hello, my lover. Yeah.
Oh, Molly Shannon.
Molly Shannon. No, was it Molly?
It is.
Yeah, it was Molly Shannon.
Owns the like.
No. It wasn't Molly Shannon. It was the. She was the other cheerleader with Will Ferrell.
Terry?
Oh, Sherry O'Terry?
Yes,
O'Terry.
It was Sherry O'Terry.
Really?
Do you take lovers' walks? And they're in the hot tub.
Oh, yeah.
It was Sherry O'Terry. It was Sherry O'Terry.
Oh, I was thinking
But Molly Shannon seems like someone
But
who,
there's
Night
Molly
at the Roxbury.
Shannon did, oh, maybe that was
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and when you meet men, do you feel like you have to disclose or have this conversation? Like when I meet women, it's just like, okay, here's this thing. I was on this reality TV show and like, do you have any fucking questions that I have to get off my chest? And like, what do you want to know? Like, do you feel this burden to have to do that? Or
I do it on my, well, I don't really go out. Yes. I always tell them.
And I got to imagine that some people handle it better than others.
Yes. But I never have I always hear, well, I don't know how to wrap my head around that. So, but you're really beautiful and take care. Like, it's never for me personally, a violent act.
But that's not the case for all trans
No. people. And, yeah. So, I mean, I'm also to the point now where I'm not going out to clubs and I'm not having that conversation. So I'm on dating sites. And if I'm on dating sites, I disclose everything on the site.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just easy.
Yeah. There's a freedom there.
There's like, a total freedom.
Let me know if you're interested.
Yeah.
And if not, just
it's all there.
Here's all my stuff. Swipe.
Yeah. Exactly.
But also that is unfair and that sucks because when it comes to dating apps, who else feels the need to be like, this is all of me.
Exactly.
Just like I've been fired from 4 jobs. Like, you know,
I'm really 5'11".
Two of my ex-girlfriends have blocked me on, you know, on text.
Like, I have a restraining order.
Like, who else has to do
I
that
have
except
three
the trans?
Stalkers. Yeah.
The trans community.
Yeah. No, I mean, but it just makes life safe. And it makes life easier because I don't want to be burdened with your bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't. I have a happy life. I have amazing friends, amazing family, a couple of lovers. But I don't want to be burdened with your issues and your bullshit.
Maybe maybe people should all just kind of put more on their bio.
Yeah, I think so.
I have trust issues.
I have a third nipple.
It sounds stupid, but I will purposely put a picture of me because I'm a bigger girl. And so like, yes, here I am. I have extra weight on me. just so you know.
Right.
Because otherwise people will be like, well, no.
I will say, regardless if it's someone who is a plus size person or whatever you look like, I will never understand why people will be misleading in their photos.
Yeah.
Especially if they have that one good photo from 4 years ago where they found that angle and you're just like... God. I'll never forget.
And they look like a painting because of all the touch stuff.
I'll never forget. I was my one buddy, and he was my roommate. This was years ago. He had a girlfriend, and she's a nice girl. Fine. You know, not my type, but totally fine girl. They ended up moving in together. And then me and some of my buddies came over, and we kind of gave ourselves a tour. And around his place were a bunch of pictures of her, and mostly her. Some of them. And we were just looking and we kind of looked at each other without saying anything, like, is this her? And it was always the same angle, you know, like in every photo.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this barely looks like her. But it was like, how, like
just, that was her angle.
That was her angle. And it was a perfect angle. It didn't look quite like her.
Yeah.
So like, if you are on a dating app and you are, if you are doing that, you're probably going to, even if it's like you're going to disappoint, not because it's just like it's not what you expect, and no one wants to be lied to that way.
I mean, there are things that you should do. Everyone should do a little correction, because photos are different than real life. Like, you're talking to someone, you're not like looking at this picture with like that one red bump, you know, that you have on your forehead.
I'm not saying everyone takes a selfie like underneath your chin. And yeah. If you date me with this, then we're good.
Basically, you're both are like, we know our
you
angles.
You should see my selfie game.
It's okay. That's
pretty strong. Good, yeah.
Mine's strong too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but I like to think that it's my Instagram is a fair representation of who I am.
It is.
Yeah.
Except some people think I'm shorter than I am.
Or skinnier.
I'm a lean, short-looking guy on Instagram.
Who roller skates his way into the hearts of women.
Yeah, so you roller skate.
Yeah, I love it.
How long have you been? I would like to collaborate.
Okay. I started roller skating. I mean, I'm not doing crazy tricks. Like I'm a dancer, so I can move on a roller skate, you know? But I can't do like, you know, backflips and all that kind of thing.
I can't do backflips.
You know, I'm good, and I'm elegant, and I'm smooth, and I can work a beat on a roller skate. I've been roller skating forever. That's
about all I can do, really.
Yeah.
Work a beat on a roller skate. I like that.
But like, unlike you, I don't want to risk falling and skinning my knee and elbow.
Well, I usually don't, but like literally last night I took a hard fall because I have been trying to get better at spinning, and it's I ran into a pebble. So I am
hurt. Who would have ever thought a pebble could bring you down?
No, it really did. What a metaphor.
I know, right?
It was a little glass pebble, and I took a crashing fall. I thought I broke my wrist, to be honest, but I...
I'm
just really, really, really sore. Before we get to our Do You Know Me game, Candace, any final thoughts on just, again, for the people listening, of it's going to take some time, many moons, as you say, but what are some things for the people who are open-minded, but this might even be an uncomfortable conversation for them, or they're just like, I don't know, I'm interested. There's always going to be people we'll just never break through to, and I mean, whatever. But what are some things, you know, run into it, you know, interact with a trans person to make them feel more welcomed, or other than the things that we've already discussed, or questions that are safe to ask, and maybe other questions? It's like, just maybe read or watch something else.
You know, I wouldn't ask questions. I would listen to what they're saying. And when somebody who's trans wants you to know something, they'll tell you.
Great.
And I think it's also important that, trans community is a very small community. I mean, we're out in the media, we're on Pose. I've been on television, you know, Laverne, all these people. But the numbers itself are very low.
Sure.
And when you're a minority, when you're a small community, you need allies' help. If you see something, say something. If you see somebody getting abused or, God forbid, physically hurt, do something, stand in, call someone to help. Because for the most part, we don't have enough allies out there. And so that's really important. I really do believe that most Americans are good people, and that they believe that everyone should be free and everyone should be true to themselves. And I think that a lot of times people don't look outside their own reality, and they are so focused on their lives and what they're doing in life, they don't know how to go beyond and look at somebody else's existence and understand it and try to look at it through their eyes. And I know America can do that. I mean, look at how far we've come just since I was on Dirty Sexy Money. Now there's entire casts of shows that have trans characters on it. You know, it's like I said, it's going to take many moons, but we're leaps and bounds in just 10 years than we were in the first 50 of being visible with Christine Jorgensen. Mm-hmm. And, I do have hope, but it takes allies and it takes our communities fighting for our right to exist.
Well, nicely said. And I really do appreciate you sharing your story and having more conversations with it about it, and putting up with some of our questions. All right, Candace, are you up for our Do You Know Me game?
I am.
quick rules here. Okay. I'll ask you 5 questions. Chrissy and I are going to guess who knows Candace Kane better.
Okay.
Chrissy should win. She's known Candace for some time.
Like 15 years.
don't answer the question immediately. Think about the answer in your head.
Okay.
And then we'll guess, and you'll tell us if we're right or wrong. If you have an anecdotal story about your answer, please share. Okay. Don't feel like you need to. A simple yes or no will suffice.
Okay.
Yeah. Do You Know Me with Candace Kane. Has Candace ever been injured from sex? Has Candace ever been injured from sex? And let me preface by injury, a scratch on the back is not an injury.
Oh, so I mean, nails doesn't count.
Yeah. A hickey doesn't count. Okay. you have to be like, ow. Like almost
I fell.
Like a small limp afterwards or something.
Does venereal disease count?
No.
No. But although, ow.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Ow. For sure, ow.
For sure, ow.
But for the context of this game, I'm going to say we won't have to HIPAA laws apply on this show. I'm going to say no.
Okay. I'm going to say yes. And I'm only going to say yes because, I mean, you're a dancer. Maybe you can get a little twirly whirly, maybe fall off something. I don't know. Just do something. A little twirly in there. So I'm going to go yes.
No.
I do not know her better.
Lead.
I mean, there's like, you know, you fall up, you roll off the bed or something and yeah. You kind of, you know, but it's not like injured.
Like this vision of you on a chandelier.
Well, that's been done. No.
Question number 2, softball. Has Candace ever been camping? I mean, I'm going to say yes, ever.
Yes.
Probably my guess is in her early years.
Yes. My parents used to take us camping up in Northern California.
Okay.
At a place called Consumities River. And we named it Chipmunk Heaven. And it was magical. And we had all these things. We used to play. Yeah. Okay. Anyways. Yeah.
Chipmunk Heaven. Chipmunk
Heaven.
It's been many a year since I've thought of it. Like I have a lot of friends who go camping. But the thought of it for me just doesn't.
I fantasize about like being stranded and having to do that, which is. But like choosing to?
Well, yeah, just burnt food and smoke in your hair and your clothes. No,
not for me.
I love a campfire. Don't get me wrong, but I prefer a cabin.
Oh, cabins I've done.
That's fine.
That's totally
fine. Oh, so you're a glamper.
Sure.
That's so on brand. No, I'm just kidding.
It totally is. And I'm fine with that. I don't need to prove anything to anyone. Question number three. Has Candace ever shoplifted? Has Candace ever shoplifted? She doesn't have to have been caught. Yeah, has Candace ever shoplifted?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes.
Like every girl's tried it.
I'm going to say yes. And this includes, have you like taken something?
Yeah. When you're seven?
Here's an example.
So like,
I don't know why I've done this. Because when first asked the question, have I ever shoplifted? I would say, no, of course not. Like, especially when I was a kid. But yeah. Like, I remember like as an adult, not before, like if I go get like a sandwich and I want a bag of chips, I like chips. And I'm like, I don't want to pay for two bags of chips. So I've like paid for chips. Give me a chip. And then I'm like, I'm still hungry. And I just like grabbed another bag.
That's
so stupid and wrong.
That's shoplifting.
That's shoplifting. Yeah. And I did that in like in college. I don't know why, because I can certainly get like the $1.30 that it is, but I guess I've done that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like in high school, like we would go and like try to sneak booze. You know what I mean? And like get like a gold schlops.
Yeah.
Goldschlager. Yeah. It's so bad.
But we guessed yes on that.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We got that point.
I've a couple of times. I'm nervous. Like I don't want to get caught. Like the nightmare for any trans person is to go to jail or go to the hospital, you know, or something like that.
Great follow-up question. Okay. Has Candace ever been arrested?
Oh,
I only picked this question because I was wondering if maybe like from like a protesting standpoint,
activism.
Like we're a form of activism. I would have said, I'm going to say yes because of that, where you maybe even have been detained but didn't deserve it. You know, not to get in the whole.
Yeah. I mean, even you've been arrested. So
I've
detained.
Well, I was handcuffed. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to say
I wasn't processed.
No.
I'm gonna stick with my answer and say yes. But I feel like I'm gonna be wrong here because as Candace kind of pointed out, hyper sensitive to putting yourself in that situation.
I haven't. Yeah. I haven't been arrested.
Okay. Well,
although when I was getting global entry, I applied and they said that I had an arrest from when I was 17, and I was like, no, I didn't. So I had to call the Maui Police Department, get a document proving that I'd never been arrested.
They said you were.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Which is scary. It was weird. Anyways.
Anyway.
Well, we're all tied up, Chrissy.
You're
last
welcome.
Question, tiebreaker. Has Candace ever had phone sex?
Oh, for sure. I'm not even doubting it.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
Everyone does it. If they just don't.
You haven't have, you haven't lived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
I mean, because, right, what's phone sex? Be like. Yeah.
Hey, but not only that, baby, she's an actress. She travels. Like, you've got, like, you've had relationships. You've got to keep it spicy.
Because, like, isn't phone sex just being, like, just to say.
But I've never sent a nude. Ever.
Mm-hmm. We're both quiet. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
for you.
Really?
For you.
As I said with Wells last week, like I haven't sent that, but like I've FaceTime with girls I'm dating, and you know, sometimes you.
Sometimes never. There's a nip slip. No, I'm just kidding.
My nip. I barely wear shirts.
Yeah.
Well, Candace, I really appreciate you coming on. It's been a ton of fun and certainly informative for me, and I hope to our audience. And for you guys listening, just as Candace mentioned, just try to be a friend and an ally to everyone you see in the world. And, you know, maybe many moons will become two or three. You know, who knows? We can only hope. But yeah. I do want to sincerely thank you for taking the time and coming on. We're just extending Pride Month. I know this isn't, now in July, but you know what? Fuck it.
Screw it.
Well, it's kind of, you know, Pride summer.
Yeah.
Because every year it's like you go to Prides all around the country and it's always June, July, and August. So,
yeah. Great.
Pride summer. We deserve more than one.
Well,
month.
It's kind of the thing too, when it comes to some of these months, if you will. I think maybe the hope is the idea is that we don't only focus on these things once a month, or
yeah.
It becomes something that we kind of always embrace and open to learning more about. So There we go. Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate you tuning in. Don't forget to send in your questions at asknick@castme.com, cast with a K, for our Ask Nick episodes on Monday. If you are tuning in to listen to Candace, we're here all, three times a week right now.
Yeah.
Check us out on Mondays for our Ask Nick episodes. We give, we hear a bunch of relationship problems and issues, and I tell them what I think.
Very well. You do
seems
it very well.
Work out. Other than that, thanks for listening, and we will see you on Monday.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.